Perhaps we could commence the meeting with hymn number 287. 287, the cross, the wondrous cross on which the Saviour died. I gaze upon the thorn-clad brow that pierced bleeding side. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. 287, standing to sing.
The cross, the wondrous cross, on which the Savior died. Hardly gaze upon the thorn-clad brow that pierced and bleeding side. At the cross, where I first saw the night, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I can see the burden of my sin. I thought of what it lay, and he, this honest Lamb of God, for a sinner's sin was made. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross of Christ is all my foes, is all my only plea. My past fortune, the the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Perhaps we'll just take a few moments and speak to God in prayer and commit the meeting into God's hand, shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we come into thy holy presence once again, another Sunday evening, and we do give thanks to thee for the message of the gospel. We thank thee for the words that we've been singing concerning the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee indeed as we think about Calvary tonight, as we think about the place where the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself without spot unto God, that sinners might be saved, that they might have their sins forgiven, because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty in full when he suffered in our room and in our stead and died. And so, our Father, we thank thee that we have a Saviour, one who died and rose again, one who lives in the power of an endless life, and one who is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. And so we do pray for this gathered company this evening, for those in our gathering who are not saved, that they might indeed realize there is a God in heaven who loves them and who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for them, that they might have their sins forgiven, that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And so we pray in all that would be said and done this evening, as thy word would be opened and read, and the message of the gospel preached, we pray for help. We pray for help to preach. We pray for help to listen to thy voice And in doing so, our Father, we pray that a precious soul or souls would be reached and saved in our meeting this evening. We give thanks to thee now in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the announcements.
Now, we give everyone a very warm welcome to the meeting this evening. We're glad to see you. Good to see a good number of young people here as well. And we would give a welcome to those who join us online. We trust that each that are hearing the gospel this evening will be blessed. Those who are saved, encouraged as to hear again about what the Lord has done for us. But we pray for those who are not saved that tonight you might realise your need of him and might realise that he alone can save. So we'll give everyone a warm welcome to the meeting this evening. Now, there's a few announcements to be made for the incoming week. On Thursday at 7:45 is the prayer meeting and the Bible reading, and we'll be considering 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 down to verse 9. Next Lord's Day at 11 is the breaking of bread. 3 p.m. is the Sunday school and Bible class. 6:30 the prayer meeting, and 7 again the gospel. And next Lord's Day we expect our brother John Fleck along to preach the gospel. And then John will be continuing in ministry Monday to Friday of that following week at 8 p.m. And his subject will be the five views of the Christian. Now, we give a warm welcome this evening also to our speaker, Marcus Jess, from the Windsor Assembly, no stranger to us. We're glad to have Marcus back with us and trust that he will have help this evening as he would preach the gospel. Now, all of these meetings, you're all very welcome to them. And, of course, they're made in the subject in the mind and will of God. And I will hand the meeting over to our brother, Marcus.
Now, I've just two verses that I want to read, and they're found in the New Testament in the letter or book, as some might refer to it, as the book of Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I would like to read from verse 2. Verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And we trust that God will bless to us the reading of his precious word. The epistle or the letter of the Hebrews was written to a company of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who had been formerly Jews from the Jewish religion. The Jewish religion was the only divinely given religion to any nation. That is to say that the oracles of God, the sayings of God, were delivered to the Jews. And so, as we think of that, whenever they came and whenever they heard the gospel and they trusted Christ, was it something that has it been for them a better thing? Is it something better? Have they got something better than what they had before? The Apostle Paul, who was indeed a Jew himself, he said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. And so, as far as these Jewish believers were concerned, the writer to the Hebrews was encouraging them, to look. And he writes here in verse 2 of chapter 12, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. As we think of the epistle to the Hebrews, there are 13 chapters in it in total. The first 10 would be indeed doctrinal. That is to say that there is important teaching there. The first two chapters are to do with the person of Christ, who he was, that God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, or by his Son, that it was the Lord Jesus who spoke that the fulfillment of the prophets were found in Christ when Christ came into this world. And so chapters 1 and chapter 2 tell us about the person. Chapter 1 is about the very fact that he was God, God manifest in flesh. Chapter 2 tells us about his perfect humanity. The Lord Jesus came into this world. He was born into this world, a little babe in Bethlehem. As he grew up, the Bible tells us that he was indeed perfect in every way, that he was wholly harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He was perfect in his humanity, a perfect human being, we might say. He was perfect. In chapters 3 and chapter 4, we learn about rest. The children of Israel, because of unbelief, they couldn't enter into the rest. They couldn't enter in the, for 40 years, they wandered about in the wilderness because of unbelief. A journey that would have taken perhaps a few months, that they wandered for 40 years, imagine, because of unbelief. Chapter 4 tells us about our entering into the rest, that those who trust Christ have entered into rest. In chapter 5 and chapter 6, it's about salvation. In chapter 5, we read about the salvation of the Lord Jesus. Now, that was very different to you and I. The Lord Jesus, it says that it was with strong crying and tears in the Garden of Gethsemane that he wept, strong crying and tears, and he was able, because he prayed to the one who was able to save him out of death. That is to say that the Lord Jesus entered into death, but the one who brought him out was God, and God brought him out vindicating the very fact that the sacrifice that he made when he offered himself unto God at the place called Calvary satisfied the very heart of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing, that God was satisfied? But then chapter 6, it tells us about our salvation, that through faith and through the works that were carried out by the believers, not so much the works can't save you. You know, we're not saved through works, we're saved through faith. But it was indeed an evidence that they had got salvation. In chapter 8 and chapter 9, chapter 7 and chapter 8, it speaks about the promises of God. And chapter 9 and chapter 10, it tells us about the sanctuary entering in, that the Lord Jesus, he entered into the sanctuary. And we are able, as believers in the Lord Jesus, and these Jewish believers who were reading this, they were able to enter in. And then chapters 11, chapter 12, and chapter 13 is simply about the principles of faith, hope, and love. And so we come to chapter 12, and we have this, in chapter 11, it's the energy of faith. By faith, they were able to do great exploits for God. And in chapter 13 is all about love, and chapter 12 is about hope, the endurance of hope. And it says here in chapter 12, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the endurance of hope. He endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, there might have been those people in chapter 11 who did great exploits for God by faith. But here the Lord Jesus, it says, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Looking off, away from all others, we would want to point you to Christ, the one alone who is able to save. Looking away from everything else, away from even the greatest person that you know on this earth, because we want to point you to the greatest person who ever lived, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Looking off onto Jesus, the author and finisher, that is to say, the one indeed who is the one who is able, who has completed the work, the author and finisher of faith. And it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. When the Lord Jesus came into this world, he could say, with regards to his Father, that he came to do the will of him who sent him. He came to do the will of his Father. And he could say, with regards to his Father, he said, I delight to do thy will. It is a joy to do thy will, O God, my God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that he endured the cross, despising the shame. As we think of Calvary, we think of the suffering of the cross of the Lord Jesus at the place which is called Calvary. There he died. There he suffered in our room and in our stead. The Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. It was there to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You ask yourself the question, why did the Lord Jesus suffer? Why did he die for me? Well, you see, we read in John chapter 3 and verse 16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because of the love of God, he sent his Son. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Saviour of the world. You know, man's greatest need was a Saviour. And it is because of our sin, because of that which has separated us from God, that the soul that sinneth shall surely die, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world that we might have our sins forgiven. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, said the Apostle Paul. And he said, of whom I am chief. What was he saying? He was simply saying that he, as the chief of sinners, the one indeed who saw himself as God seen him. I wonder, would you take the place of the Apostle Paul? He could say that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I wonder, do you realize that you need to be saved? That you are a sinner before a holy God? That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? That there is none righteous, no, not one. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world that you might have your sins forgiven. That God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wonder, do you realize that God loves you? Do you realize that you need to be saved if you're ever going to be in heaven? There is a way. The Bible tells us that it is through looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, we read there concerning God, and the Lord Jesus was God manifest in flesh. And Isaiah tells us, he says that God says, look on to me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. You know, there was a famous preacher by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And one day he was in a little country church building. And the minister, the preacher hadn't turned up. But there was a man there who didn't know very much, you could say, but he knew enough. He certainly knew the one of whom we're speaking of, the Lord Jesus. And he read these words, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And he looked down at Charles Haddon Spurgeon and he said, young man, you look miserable. And he said, look on to me. He quoted the verse again. Look on to me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. You know, it was through that verse, Haddon Spurgeon, he realized that he needed to be saved. And there was only one who was able to save him. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he looked away from all else. And he looked to Christ. Look on to me, says God, the God of heaven. Look on to me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, that tells me something. If the Lord Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set at the right hand of God, that tells us that he rose again. He rose again from the dead and ascended to heaven, and is seated at God's right hand, at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, one day he is coming back again. He's coming back for those who have trusted in him. The Lord Jesus Christ, he promised that he would return again. He said, behold, I come quickly. He said unto his disciples, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be, there ye may be also. I wonder, do you realize that you have a soul to be saved? And the Bible tells us that, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. To trust Christ, to be saved for time and for eternity. The Lord Jesus said, if any man would come after me, he said, I will in no wise cast out. You know what that means? It means he's bound to take you in. If you would simply come and trust Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus has promised that those who would come unto him, that he would give them rest. I wonder, do you realise that simply by looking by faith, you can be saved? You know, the children of Israel, whenever they were in the wilderness, and there were those serpents that went into the camp and bit the people because of their unbelief. Then Moses, he set up a brazen serpent upon a pole, and he told the people who had been bitten that those who looked would live. You know, that was a picture of Christ. There in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, you can have it. Eternal life is a possession, a present possession, for those who trust in Christ, for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. Look on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A Saviour who finished the work, completed the work upon the cross of Calvary, that you and I might have our sins forgiven. I wonder, would you trust Christ and be saved for time and for eternity? May God bless his word for his name's sake. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we give thanks to thee now at the close of our time spent around thy precious word. We thank thee for the gospel message. We thank thee, our Father, that we're able to proclaim a Saviour, one who died and rose again, and one who is seated at thy right hand, and one who is coming back again for his waiting people. We would pray for each one in our gathering tonight who's not saved, that they might indeed realize their need of Christ, that they might indeed look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, that they might realize that they need to be saved if they're ever going to be in heaven, and by trusting Christ, that they can have their sins forgiven and be sure of heaven as their home. We ask thee now to part each one with thy blessing, giving thanks to thee now in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, just a couple of verses of a hymn. Hymn 302. And we're going to just sing the first and second verse and the chorus of this hymn. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. Perhaps we could stand and sing this hymn together. 302, verses 1 and 2, and the chorus.
There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. When look, sinner, on the grave and be saved, on the hill who was nailed to the tree. Oh, why was he ransomed for the murder of sin? This one Jesus for you was not dead. Or why from his side flowed his sin cleansing blood? If his dying the death has not paid.